Wow, thank you guys. You guys have been a dear to Katie and I. I'm sorry, I'm going to call her Katie. I just can't wrap my brain around calling. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I can't call her Kit. I know she's Kit here, but she's Katie to me. So I'm just going to let you all know, a friend of mine's mom says, tell the truth and let the Lord love you. I'm going to tell you the truth right off the bat. I am so nervous that if you see me start twitching, it's because I sweated and this microphone is shocking me here. So someone come up and help me. Whew. And I couldn't figure out why am I so nervous. Seriously, why? I mean, I've done public speaking before. I hate it, but I've done it. But why am I so nervous? And I know why. It finally dawned on me. As Becky said, I graduated from here in 1985, a while back. And I know this place. I know the lay of this land, and I know it very well. I know down here, on a normal Wednesday, the football players would not be sitting right here. I know that. I know that typically down here, what we have is the administration, the faculty, the staff, and usually what we used to call in my day, the RPs, the coveys. They are typically down here in this section. So if you want to hear good singing, come down here on the Psalms. And then I know in the front rows up here in the front sections are the kids that typically, you guys are involved in Christian fellowships and stuff, really, you know, good kids right there. And then there are the kids up there and back there. You guys know exactly how late to come into chapel and still get credit. You know exactly how many skips you get per chapel. How many is that? 4. And you probably have them all planned out. And I know you guys. I know you brought your books in. You brought your stuff in. You've got a quiz probably later this afternoon you're trying to prepare for. Or you're just texting friends. I don't know which. I know you because I used to sit up there. That was where I sat. And I know you're very hard judges of whoever gets up here and speaks to you, because I was. And I have to tell you, I came here not knowing what an RP was. I had no clue. I came from the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. I had never sung a psalm a cappella in my life. And as Becky probably can attest, by sitting next to me, I don't know my part. I really don't. And so I wish someone would teach me my part, because I grew up singing the hymns to the organ. Now, for those of you who don't sing accompanied by an organ, imagine going to a Pittsburgh Penguin game and trying to sing over top of the organ. It covers a multitude of bad notes. And so the Christian Missionary Alliance and others who sing with an organ, we make a joyful noise unto the Lord, where RPs don't. They make beautiful music, and they really worship the Lord well. I used to sit up there and make fun of the psalms that we sung, the psalms. When I came here, I didn't even know what a psalter was. When I first heard the word psalter, I thought we had, like, is there salt and pepper in here somewhere? I had no clue. There was a P in front of the S. And so, you know, anyhow, I had no clue what I was doing. And my time here at Geneva was interesting. But I came to chapel, I sat in the back row, and I sung or listened to the psalms being sung. I had no idea what they were doing in my life. I had no idea how God would use them later. No idea. I will tell you, repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. I'm a living example of that. Singing the Psalms over and over again. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was memorizing God's Word. And I really didn't understand that until December 2013. I live in Wilmore, Kentucky. I work at Asbury Seminary. I was on at a donor dinner. It was about 5:30 at night. I was with guests. I don't typically keep my cell phone on during that, but I had my cell phone on that night because I had students coming to meet us. And my phone rang, and it was one of my daughter Katie's friends, Ash. And she started the conversation. I thought it was odd she'd call me on a Friday night. So I answered and said, "Hey, Ash, what's up?" And she goes, "Mrs. Hogan, have you heard?" I said, "Heard what?" And she said, "About Kit." And I said, "No, what?" She said, "She was hit by a car." And I went, "You mean she was driving in her car and hit by a car?" And she goes, "No, Mrs. Hogan, she was walking across Route 18 and she was hit by a car." The next question that I asked, I never imagined I would say, and that is my daughter alive? It seemed like forever before she answered, "I don't know. I'm not with her. I know they're trying to life flight her to Allegheny General Hospital." I hung up the phone and I began calling Allegheny General Hospital from Wilmore, Kentucky. And I was so far away. You don't realize how far Wilmore is from Geneva until you go through something like that. And then you feel every minute and every mile. And I was trying to call, and no one knew anything. It was about 20 minutes later, someone from the college called. I don't even remember who they were. But they gave me an update. Katie was alive. Gretchen, her RA, was with her. They were in an ambulance on their way to Allegheny General. The weather was too bad to land a helicopter. So I ran home and grabbed about 3 pair of clothing, threw them in the car, and I took off. I left my son David, who's 16, at home, because honestly, at that point, I didn't know if I was coming to see Katie or if I was coming to bring her home and to bury her. So I left him at home. Because he was facing, like you all, finals that week. And can I just say, for her to pick a time to get hit by a car? This is where the title, Ain't Nobody Got Time for That, which is a quote by Sweet Brown. If you've never Googled it, Googled it. Ain't nobody got time for her to be hit by a car right now. You guys didn't have time. I didn't have time. Of course, it got her out of finals, so I guess she's pretty pleased. But and, you know, it was 19 days before Christmas, for heaven's sakes, and I'm a procrastinator. I hadn't bought one Christmas present, not one. And so I'm in a car on my way to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Around Cincinnati, the ER hospital, or the doctor called, and he started using words that were very large, and I was a computer science major here. I was not pre-med, so I didn't know them, but I knew they were bad. There was bilateral skull fracture, severe brain bleed, severe brain swelling, multiple facial contusions. She was in a coma. She was not breathing on her own. They had to put her on a ventilator. She was unresponsive. Her brain was still bleeding and swelling, and they would keep me posted. They would be monitoring through the night. They would keep me posted by my cell phone. If anything got worse, they would be doing surgery before I got there. They couldn't guarantee me that she would be alive when I got to her. That was a long drive. We pulled into Allegheny General around 1:30 in the morning. And I have to tell you, my fear all along through all of this was that my Katie was alone. And as a mother, you want to be there when your child is hurt. You want to be there. And all I could think is, she's so alone. Is she scared? Is she afraid? Does she know that I'm coming? We pulled in, and we walked through the waiting room, and there was a bunch of students, and one of them I saw had a Geneva shirt on. And they stood up, and I asked them to continue praying and thank them for being there. We went up in stairs, and they took us back to ICU unit number 13. And when I walked in, what I saw made my knees buckle and took my breath away. There was my Katie, who's 5 foot tall, and she looked so broken. Her head was about twice as big as normal, which is pretty big for Hogan's. We got big heads, so it was about twice as big as normal, and she was on life support, you know, breathing things, and all the wall was full of monitors, and I wanted to run over and kiss away her boo-boos. But she was so broken looking, I didn't dare touch her. So I ran over and I put my nose above her head and I breathed her in. I just wanted to smell my baby. They let us stay with her for about an hour. They made us go out and sit in the waiting room. They actually told us to go home, but they promised they would call if there was any change. So around 2:30 in the morning, my ex-husband and I, Don, went out to the waiting room and sat there and waited for 9 o'clock when visiting hours would come. 9 o'clock came and we went back. Katie was still alive, and they had not had to do surgery. Her swelling and bleeding had subsided. She was still in a coma, unresponsive. They couldn't make any promises at that point in time. They said 72 hours. It will take about 72 hours, and we'll see. You know, we'll see if she wakes up, and we'll know better in 72 hours. So we began the wait. As Becky said, she and her family came. People came. You students came. The community of Geneva came. you all came in such a force that yesterday Katie and I went back to Allegheny General, and the doctor said, oh yeah, you were the one with all the people that just kept coming. We were like Noah's Ark going two by two back to see Katie. And it was what I feared was that she was alone. She was not alone. We were not alone. You guys came. You were our family. You were here for us, and you came. And you sent cards, and you sent cards with money in them. And can I just say, when I left on a Friday night at 6 o'clock, I had about $7 in my purse. I came to Pittsburgh and found out it's going to cost me $17 a day to park there, and they don't take credit cards. So your money allowed me to leave the hospital because I was stuck. I wasn't going anywhere because I had no money to get out of there that you had to pay for parking. And you guys came. You're in the middle of finals. You're getting ready for finals, and you guys came. And we began the process of laughing, crying, praying, and waiting together. And in the meantime, you all studied for your finals. I would go back to a hotel in the evening to get some rest, and there was a core group of students here who I would guess typically sit in the back rows. And they came. And they'd come about 8 or 9 o'clock at night with their books and their pillows, and they came because they didn't want Katie to be alone when I went back to the hotel to get some sleep. Even though they couldn't be with her, they waited in the waiting room, and they prayed, and they studied. And when I would come in the morning, if they had to leave for a final, they would leave me notes telling me they had prayed for me and Katie and encouraging me. See, that's the body of Christ. And even the students in the back row, you're part of the body of Christ. What I didn't realize, when I used to sing the Psalms back here and say, ain't nobody got time for these Psalms, why aren't we singing something contemporary? As I said, I was memorizing them. What I didn't realize was, in that moment, those Psalms, they're songs of anguish, of grief, crying out to God, where are you? Are you listening? Can you hear me? Are you deaf? I need help. I've lost my way. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. My daughter is hanging between life and death. Where are you, my God? Those psalms I sang here began coming out as I sat in silence, as I watched my daughter teeter between life and death. On Tuesday morning, the doctor came in. We called her Dr. Doom and Gloom. She was a glass half empty kind of woman. She told you the worst case scenario possible, and she did it very abrupt, right, straightforward, didn't try and soften anything. She came in and she goes, Mrs. Hogan, I've been in the medical field a long time, and I really don't need the scans. My patients tell me what is wrong with them, and I'm usually right. I am certain your daughter has something called diffuse axonal injury. She is telling me, Katie is telling me that's what she has. And it happens in instances like this, where Katie was hit, her head slammed into the car, the windshield of the car, and her brain began going back and forth in her skull like a bowl full of Jell-O. And then when she hits the ground, her brain, for all you physics majors, has to stop that momentum and start in the complete opposite direction. And what happens is there's a shearing at the base of the brain between the gray and the white matter. I'm positive your daughter has that. We'll do an MRI tonight to confirm it. Tomorrow morning when you come in, we'll trach her, we'll put a feeding tube in her, pick the nursing home you want her sent to. That was Tuesday. The hardest time of my life, the hardest day of my life, I stood on the Psalms. And I didn't mind crying out to God, God, where are you? Are you hearing me? Are you there? Wednesday morning came, Dr. Taves walked in. She sat down on the toilet. For those of you who came to visit, you saw that little toilet sitting in just out in the open right there in the ICU unit. She sat down on it and crossed her legs. It was rather odd. She put her hand back on the back of the toilet and sat there and went, this never happens. This never happens. I can't, this never happens. She was very confident. She said, your daughter does not have DAI. I was wrong. There's no DAI. There's nothing wrong with this young girl. We're going to wake her up. That was Wednesday. I was praising God. I was like, okay, now she's going to wake up. That didn't happen. Thursday came and went. Friday, finally, she opened her eyes. But it was just open them and close them. Later Friday, she started following us around the room with her eyes. Saturday, she started reaching out and grabbing our hand. No one could tell us. They had taken her off the ventilator by now. She was breathing on her own. No one could tell us what her prognosis was. They just kept saying, we'll wait and see, we'll wait and see. We don't know the severity of the brain damage. We don't know anything. We just have to wait and see. We're coming up to Christmas. Again, ain't nobody got time to be in no hospital in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for Christmas. I was so far away from home. Can you have Christmas in a hospital? I didn't even know. Do you have Christmas? Well, my mom came and she stole one of the Christmas trees from down the hall. Stole is a harsh word. She borrowed one of the Christmas trees and pulled it into Katie's room. By now, Katie's out of the ICU unit and up on the 9th floor of the hospital. And I was questioning, okay, God, what's going on here? I really did not want to spend Christmas in the hospital. Christmas Eve, I spent the night with Katie. By then, we were allowed to sleep in her room. And so I spent the night with her. On Christmas morning, I woke up and I read the Christmas story. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I sat there and thought, God is with me here in this hospital. God is with me? It's Christmas. It's me and Katie. She's sleeping. I'm just sitting here in a hospital in downtown Pittsburgh. At that moment, a cleaning woman walked into Katie's room pushing a broom. I had never seen her before. She was stunningly beautiful. I mean, take your breath away, beautiful. And she walked in and she goes, is this your daughter? And I said, yeah. She goes, she's beautiful. I said, thank you. She said, what happened to her? Well, she goes to college up here, and on December 7th, she was walking across the street and got hit by a car. And she goes, and the angels caught her. And I said, excuse me? And she goes, and the angels caught her. I said, why do you say that? She said, when you said that, I saw your daughter hit by the car. I saw her flying through the air. But then I saw angels catch her and lay her gently down on the ground. She goes, when I was 7 years old, I was walking across the street here in front of the hospital, going to a Bible study, and I was hit by a car. It drug me a block before it realized it. When my mom came to the hospital to identify me, the only way she could tell it was me was my white dress, which was now stained with blood. She goes, your daughter will be fine. And she turned and walked out. That was Christmas morning. I sat there in silence for a long time. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell anybody about that ever. I was like, I have lost my mind is what I have done. I've lost my mind. But as I sat there thinking about it, it made total sense. Dr. Taves had told me Katie's brain was a bowl of jello shaking back and forth in her skull. And yes, she had had impact on the one side. And had she hit the ground, she probably would have had DAI, the shearing in the base of her brain. But that never happened. Because where I thought there was a period, a car hit my daughter, God turned it into a comma and said, and the angels caught her with an exclamation point. Is our God a miracle-working God? I didn't think so. But I've got no other way to describe that. Does he still work miracles today? Yes, he does. When I sat there and thought, ain't nobody got time to be in no hospital on Christmas morning, God sends someone to tell me about the angel. Emmanuel, God is with us. He broke down into this world to come into our sinful world and save us. And he was there on Christmas morning for me. 2 days after Christmas, Katie was released from the hospital. We went down to Lexington, Kentucky to a rehab hospital. And she, at that point in time, they had said, you know, the x-rays and everything showed she had a break in her pelvic area, a break in her knee, ACL damage. So she was totally non-weight-bearing when we left the hospital. And they were teaching me how to move her about from wheelchair into the car, into the shower, all that stuff that you have to learn when you're non-weight-bearing. We finally got into the orthopedic surgeon of Katie's about 2 days after we got down there. And he did some x-rays, and he had the scans from the hospital. And he called me out, and he goes, "Tammy, look at this." He goes, "Here is the break, the fracture in her pelvic area and her knee, but I see none today. This girl can walk. Let's get her up and going." So she began learning how to walk over again. We then went into our neurologist. He looked at all Katie's scans. And he said, "Katie, I've been in the medicine field for a long time, and I can count on one hand the times when there's no way to explain a patient's recovery outside of the hand of God, one hand, in 25 years. Katie, you are on that one hand. Outside of the hand of God, you should not be alive today. I've seen your scans." We serve a miracle-working God. My fear that Katie was alone was not true. Angels had caught her. My fear that she was alone in the hospital was not true. You, the Geneva community, were there. As a matter of fact, even parents, Tim, your parents wouldn't leave her until they knew someone was coming. There's so many people here. I had Becky read that Ephesians scripture that said that God will make us one. We are one in Christ. And that is miraculous, that we can be one. Me, a CMA, can be one with an RP. We are one in Christ, me and Becky. I just want to show you the fullness of that and what that looks like. Oh, am I still there? If you had anything to do with my daughter's accident, by that I mean, you sent me a card or her a card, you said a prayer, you sent money, you dropped money, even a coin, in the baskets they had around here. You came to the hospital to visit us. You asked your church to pray for us. If you did anything like that, would you stand up? Do you see that? The walls have been torn down in Christ. The floor, the RPs, the faculty, the staff, the administration, the people in the back row, the people down here. You guys are a part of God's story. This didn't happen without you. Katie just had to walk across the road. She had the easy part. She slept through it all. You guys were the ones in battle. You guys were the ones calling out to God. You were it. You were carrying me when I didn't think I had the strength to walk from the waiting room back to number unit 13. Because I didn't know what I was going to see when I got there, or what I was going to hear, and what Dr. Doom and Gloom would tell me. You did it. You carried me. That's the body of Christ. That's it. And I know ain't nobody got time for that, because I used to sit up there and make fun of this. But someday, in heaven, we are all going to be there praising our Lord and Savior, the miracle-working God. And to everyone here, whether you're standing or not, you can sit down. Thank you. I could stand here and try and say all the little things you all did and how, seriously, I can never thank you all enough. And words fail me. I wish I was a better, you know, person, orator. I wish I could speak more clearly. I'm from Kentucky. Forgive me. but thank you. Because I'm not certain we'd be where we are today without each of you. And from the Hogan family, we say all praise and honor goes to him alone.